haters are everywhere. They always try and give advice. And I've never seen a tater do what's right. Let the Holy Spirit tell you what to do. Here's the recipe for tater stew. Take your righteous prayers because they avail it much. So get out on your knees and show them taters your stuff. Let the onions, garlic, and bell peppers be the magnificent three. God, Jesus Christ, and last but not least, the Holy Spirit. They can't even handle me. Cut them and peel them with the sword, which is the word. Wash them with the blood of Christ. It cleanses all things. You mean you haven't heard? Top it up with the shield of faith. Have patience, let it simmer. It will be well worth the wait. Now get back in this church and be all you can be. Because God's work can't go on if a tater is in the lead. You see, this story is not to offend, but it's only to try and keep us from sin. And I pray that none of us and the taters are kin. Amen.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You've just tuned in to the media ministry of New Zion Missionary Baptist Church of Winfield, Louisiana, pastored by Reverend Tramiel Ham. The Lord says in His Word that in 2 Timothy, preach the Word, be instant, in season and out of season. Listen now as our pastor preaches and teaches an in-season Word.
Gracious God, our Father, we thank You yet again for this day, this privilege, this opportunity just to worship You in spirit and in truth. For this day, we thank You, sir. For this opportunity, we thank You. We don't deserve Your goodness, yet You continue to be good to us. And Father, from the bottom of our heart, we thank You and we appreciate You for every blessing, every provision, every moment of protection, Your grace and Your abundant mercy. And thank You, O God, that You love us not because of, but in spite of. And we're recipients of Your love. Forgive us, O God, what we've sinned against You, fallen short of Your glory. Mr. Mark, yes, Lord. Have mercy upon us, God, and we ask for Your cleansing and Your correction. Now, God, we pray that You've been pleased with our effort thus far in this worship experience, that we've done all we could to show You how we feel about You. But now, God, we can't leave this place and this space without hearing from You.
Amen.
And I pray, dear Lord, that You will share a word with these Your people. Hallelujah. That You will have for them to know concerning their walk with You and their lives at this hour. We thank You for the power of Your word. Thank You for the strength of Your word, clarity that comes from Your word, the direction and the guidance. If we ever want to know anything about what You feel, we can find it in Your word. And we thank You for the privilege of sharing in this word on today. So we pray now, God, that the atmosphere is set, that Your word may go forth with conviction, with strength, with clarity, that we may understand and may receive in our hearts. And we pray today, God, we not just be hearers of Your word, but be doers as well. So we ask now, Holy Spirit, have Your way. Speak to us. We are listening. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory to God. To God be the glory for the things He has done. For He's done great and mighty things. We ought to bless His holy name. To all of our ministers that are assembled, and to officers and leaders of this body, and to all of you who are assembled here today and online as well, we thank God for all of you today. And we bid you all good morning in the name, unlike any other name, in the name of Jesus. That God has blessed us to be here one more time. And we thank God for this day, for this moment, and for this opportunity to be in this worship experience. We thank God for our music ministry and who have blessed us today, and all of our ushers who stand so dutifully, all of our staff. We thank God for all of you and your sacrifices and all that you do for kingdom building. Amen. We want to move to part two of the this sharing series of Am I in the Right Place? And look at part number two. today, pray with the Holy Spirit's guidance and your prayers that we'll see what the Lord has to say today. From the Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter number 4. It's a familiar passage of Scripture, but we pray that the Lord will draw fresh water from our old well. The Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter number 4. And we want to commence reading at verse number 35. Gospel according to St. Mark chapter number 4, and we want to begin reading at verse number 35. And the word of God reads thusly, "And the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Say amen for the word of God. Amen. The grass withers, the flowers fade thereof, but the word of our God shall stand forever. And for the time that was ours together today, we want to share with you from this thought, write it out. Write it out. Write it out. Hopefully it'll make sense to you today to know, maybe by the end of this day, our responsibility and requirement that the Lord asks of us and seeks of us as we look to see if we're in the right place. Spiritually, mentally, emotionally, are you in the right place? As we said on last week, your soul is too important to play around with. Your soul is too important and valuable to get nothing from where you worship, where you study, and where you share. I understand that many of us have different alliances and allegiances to why we do what we do, why we go through what we go through. But I want to share once again with you from a very honest standpoint that your soul costs too much to go through all that you've gone through all week long and then get to a Sunday morning and then not have any kind of excitement, enthusiasm, or anticipation that God will move in your life, do something amazing for you and through you and about you concerning you. I believe today that God is a God who can do anything. I still believe in the mighty works of God that we can see signs and wonders even before our very eyes. But we're in a culture, we're in a society today, beloved, that teaches us to jump ship. That when things get difficult, when things get hard, when things get tough, we and I have too many options now. We've got too many different ways have to go when things get uncomfortable for us. Because the world we live in, a society we live in, everything has to be based on our comfort level. We're looking for comfort. We're looking for things to be conducive. We want things to be the way we want it to be. We're looking for convenience. And the moment that things are no longer convenient, the things that no longer are comfortable, when it's no longer to what I wanted, you and I have too many choices now. And we can sit here and we can say, I'm not going to come anymore, or I'm not going to pray anymore, I'm not going to read. We've got too many choices now. But God is calling for people now, and he still called then, he's calling now for people who go say, I'm going to ride it out. Because you know that every day won't have to be the best day. Every day don't have to be strawberry ice cream and cake. But when you know who God is, and when you really trust in who God is, and you have committed yourself to him, because the problem, beloved, is not the fact that God won't commit himself to us, but the problem is we won't commit ourselves to God. And I want to know if we got anybody today who don't mind taking the resolve and the energy and the strength to say, no matter what comes, I'm going to ride it out. I know some difficulties may come. I know some issues may take place. I know I may get mad or frustrated, but I'm going to ride it out. I'm not in this thing for always getting something out of it. Sometimes I'm in it so I can put something into it. God has shown me too much. God has done too much in my life. God's been good to me. God has healed me. God has delivered me. God has set me free. God has provided. God has protected. God's taking care of our children. He's taking care of our finances, and I'm just resolved to ride it out. But I know today where we're living, we can easily jump ship. And it's so easy and convenient, and we don't want people to tell us that you got to ride it out. Because we see stuff on social media and we see things on TV that when you're in church and when you give your life to God and when you sow a certain seed, everything's supposed to go well. That when you sow a seed, you're supposed to get that job, you're supposed to get that car, you're supposed to get that house, you're supposed to get that man, you're supposed to get that woman, everything's supposed to work out good when you do everything, because the images on TV and on social media teach you that everything's going to be all right just because you love God. But according to what your Bible teaches you, that many are the afflictions of the righteous folk, but hear the shout, the Lord will deliver you out of them all. And you've got to learn to have some resolve. You've got to have some stick-to-itiveness. You've got to have some dedication. You've got to be persistent, because some of us are in the right place, but we don't want to be in the right place. We want to be where we want to be. We want to be where it's comfortable. We want to be where nobody bothering me. You want to be where nobody attacking you. But may I suggest today that the reason why you might be in the right place is when you are catching hell, when you are going through storms, when you are being lied on, when you are dealing with adversity, when you are dealing with mess, when you are dealing with gossip, that might be a sign that you're where God wants you to be. But somebody's got to have the resolve to say, I'm going to ride it out. And our text today is Taylor to teach us a few things about the people of God have to ride it out. Now, this word today is not primarily about storms, and so often we use this passage to talk about the storms. And we will deal with the storm, but the storm is not the shout. The shout is your Savior. I'm going to try it again. The problem in your life is not the storms, but the provision in your life is that you got Jesus. So that when you do go through storms, notice I didn't say if, but say when you go through storm, you ain't riding it out by yourself. And before I get started and do anything else, can I have about 3 people and I'll be number 4 who can say I can catch a little bit of hell, I can go through it a little bit better because I'm riding with Jesus Christ. Is there anybody in Zion who say, I thank God that I'm sailing with the Savior? Every day ain't perfect. Sometimes I get frustrated, but I can handle it a whole lot better because I'm riding with Jesus. Is there anybody today who say I'm going to ride with him? Okay. In our text today, you know, we looked last week at how Jesus has those disciples, the Lord had done some amazing work in their life, and they were able to get a great catch, these fishermen. They dedicated themselves to him. We looked at it in Luke chapter 5 last week, didn't we? And the Bible said that they forsook all. They brought their ships back to land, forsook all, and followed him. And they dedicated themselves to the Lord. Well, we're moving forward now in this journey called Christianity. Mm-hmm. We're moving forward in this journey not just for salvation, but discipleship. And see, child of God, we've got to grow. Somebody say grow. It can't just be about your salvation all the time. Now you got to feed your faith. You got to add to what God is putting in your life. See, that's why I keep trying to tell y'all get fighting mad at me. It's more to it than Sunday morning. Right. It's more to it than just showing up on Sunday morning and thinking you're going to come and feel better. You got to put something into it and let something be put into you day in and day out, week in and week out.
Because God is not just interested in saving you. He's interested in saving other everybody connected to you. And you have a whole lot to do with what God wants to do to bless this community, to save these streets, and to help people who are going through. You and I, it ain't just the preacher who God wants to use. It's people that God has saved. It's people who God has redeemed. It's people who God has cleaned up. It's people who God has turned around. It's people who God done worked in. God wants to use you too. It's not just the preacher's responsibility to do all this. He says, I'm going to send you out to go make disciples. But if we don't believe it, and I believe that I might be in the presence of people today who just don't believe it. Can I tell you why? Because ships get you in trouble. When you get on the ship, you're on the ship. And when you're on the ship, you're leaving land. Now you're on the ship, but you're on water. And that, can I tell you what's wrong with us? You can't control the water. You got to trust the Lord if you go get in the ship. Because he's got a plan for that ship that you may not understand he's got a plan for. And so if we're going to be determined today, if we're going to ride it out, I'll begin by sharing with you today that it's going to begin with us recalling the Lord's purpose. Here it is, y'all. Jesus has been teaching all day long in parables. He's been teaching his disciples and the multitude at the time of our text. He's been teaching. Somebody say teaching.
Teaching.
And so if he's been teaching, here's my shout, ought to be somebody to teach.
That's right. That's right.
Y'all missed it. Don't say. That's why I can't stand these lies we tell. There ain't no real men and women of God telling us nothing. Yes, it is. Ain't nobody to listen to it. Because we're not interested or hungry in learning righteousness. But Jesus, at the point of our text, he is teaching his disciples. And he's teaching them in parables. And even the disciples, now these are the ones who are walking with him. And they having trouble understanding what the Lord is saying. Okay. They're having trouble understanding what the Lord is saying. Therefore, he speaks in parables. But then when the crowd leaves, he explains more to them about the meaning of the parables. So Jesus understands something about his disciples that he understands about us. He says that, tell the truth to yourself today, most of us are visual. As much as the Bible keep telling you, and much as we keep quoting it, that we're supposed to walk by faith and not by sight,
right, right.
Half you jokers in here can't get happy because you ain't seen nothing yet.
That's good.
I'm in the right church.
That's good.
You here not expecting to see or experience anything because you ain't seen nothing all week.
My God.
Monday through Saturday was rough on you, so you don't expect to see some Sunday. You've already tuned God out when you came in the door and when you logged on. Because what you saw seemed to outweigh what God already said. Because your reality don't sound like God's revelation for your life. And so you got some faithless disciples. And what do you do when God done saved you, but you don't trust him? Can I teach this like I feel it?
Yes, sir.
A majority of us in this room, online right now, the Lord has saved us. But if we tell the truth to ourselves, we really don't trust him. I trust him to save my soul, but not deal with anything else.
My God.
But what happens when he says, okay, enough teaching? Now, what blesses me is he says to the same disciples, let's go to the other side. Missed it. Jesus says to his disciples, the Bible said the evening has come, early to late afternoon. Jesus been the one teaching. Y'all missed that. All y'all got to do is listen and stay with him. He says, let's go to the other side. Now, here's the shout. There is a purpose for this that they don't understand yet. They just think they going somewhere. But they don't know they going somewhere. I'm going to get there in a minute. They think they just going somewhere. But when you get in the ship with Jesus, you're going somewhere. And you're going to experience something you've never experienced before. But part of us today, you won't receive anything else God got to say to you today until you make up in your mind, I'm going to get in the ship and go to the other side. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what I'm going to encounter. But if the Lord has called me to something, I got to trust him enough to get in the ship. Now, another part of this that while I'm unpacking, it's the other part that you might not like because he said, let us. And I wish I could tell you today, beloved, God knows I wish because I feel you. You're righteous. You're innocent. You've been victimized. You've been abused. You're dealing with circumstances that nobody knows but you and God. You are the apple of God's eye with your cute self. You made up in your mind you ain't gonna say amen today because you're going through something. You're not going to give God your best because you done dealt with something all week long. And God understands where you are. You've already came and made up your mind with a built-in excuse. The Lord knows my heart. So I'm not going to praise him like I should. I'm going to half do today. I'm going to half show up or not show up at all because the Lord understands. And but now the Lord has said to you, let us. Can I tell you who that us is? That us is not just you and the Lord. And you ain't ready for God to use you till you can ride with people who've been trying to throw you out. Not only do you not get to pick the storm, not only do you not get to pick the ship, but child of God, you don't get to pick the shipmates. And how consistent can you be when you got to ride it out with people who may have hurt your feelings? Yeah. Riding with people who you may have issues with, but you say, I'm rather get to my destination than get my payback. I'd rather go where God called me instead of trying to get my revenge. Is there anybody who say, I got some people on the ship who I may have some issues with, but I ain't going to let that stop me from getting to my destination? Let us go over to the other side. Now y'all are missing prophecy looking for prophecy. Can I tell you something what Jesus says? He says, I'm going to take you there. Y'all missed your shot. Y'all too deep for me. Jesus says, I'm going to take you there. If you just trust me, I'm going to get you where you're supposed to go. If you just trust me, you will see purpose fulfilled in your life. Will you trust me? Okay, you can't get there yet because you keep wondering when the storm go come, when the trouble go come. But what about when they do this and what about when they do that? But all I need is two people and I'll be number three to receive this word on today and say, God say, I'm going to make it to the other side. It don't matter what happens. It don't matter what's said or done. I trust the Lord to get me to the other side. All right.
Hallelujah.
You can't ride it out if you don't get in.
That's right. That's right.
Oh my God. And I'm talking to some people who won't get on the ship. Because the Lord said, I'm going to the other side. But if you don't want to go with him, part of going with him is you may have to deal with some people. Can I tell you something that blessed me, that still blesses me to this day? That just because you can't stand them don't mean God don't love them. You don't have the final say-so on who the Lord go save, who the Lord go strengthen. Can't you realize by now they keep on eating? They keep on prospering. They keep on living. You can't stand them and you think that you and God got some kind of hookup where God go handle folk who doing you wrong. But what about when you done people wrong? What about when you done lied and done dug ditches and ain't nobody zap you out of the way? Somebody just thank God. I ain't got to be the captain. I ain't got to be the first mate. I'm just so grateful to God that he let me get on his ship. I know I don't deserve his ship. I don't deserve his love. I don't deserve his mercy. But the Lord gave me space to be on his ship. One of them Sundays, so let me go on and get through. You got to recall that the Lord has a purpose for this that you may not understand. Now, I love this passage, y'all, because this is a, these are expert fishermen. Most of these disciples are expert fishermen. And they're on this, this lake that they tend to oftentimes travel as they're doing their professional work. So the Bible says that a tempest or a strong squall or a storm comes. The storm is not, it shouldn't be a surprise. Because where they are in our text, beloved, it's because of the narrow mountain ranges and the narrow lake that when the wind blows, it can easily be ready for sudden storms. Can the church say sudden storms? In other words, you prepare for the unexpected. Y'all missed your shout. They know that based on the way that the mountain is and the way the lake is, because it's 600 feet below sea level. And they know that the way the wind can cut and the wind can be hindered by the mountains, that storms can pop up and leave and pop up and leave, that this is an area where storms will come. So you should have been prepared for storms because you go this way all the time. But the reason why we struggle with God's purpose for our life is that we tend to believe that because he's on the ship with me, I won't have no storm.
Right. That's good.
So I got a question to ask you to challenge your theology today. What do you do when you are in a storm and you are obedient? Because we tend to believe that only bad things should happen to the bad people. And good things should happen to good people. But what happens when you trusted God and a storm still came? And today somebody's frustrated. You're confused. And you're perplexed. Because you've been in this ship a long time. You joined church a long time ago. And you don't believe you deserve storms. Because you obeyed God. You're paying your tithe. You're giving your offering. You even say amen 30% of the time. You're speaking to people who don't speak you. You're nice to folks who not nice to you. And you're trying to figure out why am I still dealing with a storm? Because you're a good guy. You're a good girl. You shouldn't have no storms in your life. So, the natural tendency is, because the text shows us, if you got your Bible still open, text says that a wind arose that caused the waves to come against the ship. Don't miss it. The wind is that which you can't see. That propels the waves which you can see. Missed it. I need the waves. Because I got to have something to ride on.
Yeah. All right.
The problem is what I'm used to riding on or riding with is being affected by what I can't see. The wind symbolizes the spirit world. That area we can't see is some stuff going to work that's trying to come against, watch this, Jesus. And in turn, his disciples. And then, if I can mess them all up, I'll come against the ship.
Yeah. Wow. That's good.
Okay, the Bible says this. Y'all acting like y'all just ain't. Text says that the wind comes against the water, which makes the water come against the ship. And it's coming so intensely that water's starting to get in the ship. And it's starting to feel. It's on the process of filling the ship with water. Now that water has no business being in the ship, but because of the storm, too much of that outside stuff done got in the ship. Come here. That's why we can't celebrate God today, because too much of this outside stuff done got up in here today. You ain't come with no expectation because you brought some mess from the week in here today. There ain't nothing wrong with the ship. It's some outside stuff getting affected and being put into the ship.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's Super Bowl Sunday. And so souls don't matter. Freedom don't matter. Liberty don't matter. Deliverance don't matter. Because of a football game, neither one of us get a dime off of. But we letting that kind of stuff affect the ship. So now I'm not going to pray this week. I'm not going to look forward to nothing this week. Matter of fact, I ain't going to show up this week. But then when this game is over with and the clock says zero, you got to go to work tomorrow. And you got to deal with the hell again. So go ask Patrick Mahomes to get you out. Go ask Jalen Hurts to get you out. Go ask the NFL to get you out, because a storm going to come again. Yeah, but we letting this outside stuff done got in the ship. Tell them I said it. Tell them I said it. We just easily let outside influences get in the ship. Uh-huh. And when life gets overwhelming, ooh, let me leave this alone. And the Lord say, you know what the problem is, the whole thing? That they're sailing along, and Jesus goes to sleep. And guess what? Jesus planned to go to sleep. Jesus didn't fall asleep. Jesus went. And you know why Jesus went to sleep? Because he was tired. Y'all too deep for me. Do you know why the Lord went to sleep? Because the text told us all through chapter 3 and 4, he been teaching all day. So he deserved some rest. And because he knows who he is, he goes to sleep. Now, don't you miss something about God's purpose for your life. Jesus shows us that he is 100% humanity, 100% divinity. Because he's 100% God to even get on there and know he already got power over what's coming. Then he says, I'm a human enough to say, I'm sleeping, I'm going to sleep. He's trying to show you and I that when you're on the ship with Jesus, you can go ahead and rest tonight. You go ahead and go to sleep tonight, because it don't matter what's coming, it don't matter what's going to happen to you, because you're in the ship with Jesus, you ought to go and get some rest. Mm-hmm. Well, but when you don't know who you're on the ship with, every little noise, every little rock, y'all missing your shout. I'm talking real good to somebody right now. Every little evil word mess you up. Every lie mess you up. Every rumor messing you up. Every struggle messing you up, because you really must not know who you're riding with. Now he says, I'm going to the other side. And here's the problem. He goes over, and the Bible says they take him. Y'all see that? Say they took him as he was. You know what that mean? He was tired. He had been, watch this now. Now you mean tell me, this ship is good enough for him to teach from, but not good enough to take you. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus has been teaching from this very ship, and you had no problem long as he was talking to you. But now he want to test you and move the ship. Now you tripping. He's on the same ship. Text said they took him as he was. They didn't go get no extra stuff. Jesus said, all right, I'm tired of teaching for the day. Let's go to the other side. Y'all. And then the Bible says there were other little ships. Can I tell you who those other little ships are? Oh, my bad. P- Part of our problem is we think we big ships. That's part of your problem now. Because, see, you can't be a big ship till you learn how to be a little ship. Because, see, you can't get ownership you don't trust. But thanks be to God, he lets you attach to his ship that you can learn how to trust him, and then you'll be able to promote yourself to the big ship. Can anybody just thank God that I'm heading the right direction? I might not be as close as I ought to be to him, but thanks be to God, he let me ride with him. I wish I had more than me who gonna be a little ship today. Other little ships now, and guess what? Other little ships out there in these streets watching us. You want them to see, we have no problem with these people being there while we getting teaching. But when we start living, them same little ships watching us and see how we handle life. When storms come, are you still gonna trust him? Or you still gonna live for him? Because see, don't think for a minute them children ain't watching you. Don't think them coworkers ain't paying attention. It's some other little ships out there who may not have the faith you have, but they watching you and they ain't going nowhere. And you can't blow this assignment because other little ships attached to you. Mm-hmm. Jesus says, we're going to the other side. That's my purpose for you. But then he says that you all be able to ride it out because a storm comes, right? And ain't no problem with going with the Lord as long as don't no storms come. But the Bible says that the storm came, a wind blew, made the waves come against the ship. And the Bible says that the water began to fill the ship. Y'all missed it. I'm finna say something to you that's in the Bible, but you don't want to see it that way. So I'm going to challenge you to look at it this week. Ladies and gentlemen, the wind blew, the waves beat, but nothing, we don't see any evidence by Mark's account that any wind knocked them off. Bible said that the wind and the waves came against the ship to make you think, to make them think something wrong with the ship. We talking about if I'm in the right place. And you quitting where you are, won't commit to where you are, and you basing on how many storms we go through. Because you expect that a ship that Jesus would love would not rock. A ship with Jesus on it shouldn't have troubles. Shouldn't have mess. Because you came to a ship that loves. I want to be to a church that everybody get along. But maybe you're in the right one when you are catching hell. Because stuff is coming against the ship. And it's meant to make you get mad about the ship you're on. I must be teaching all right now. And you've been letting folk talk about your ship all week long. Talk about your shipmates all week long. I wouldn't go if I was you. Ain't nothing but that up there. Ain't nothing but that up there. And making you feel like something wrong with the you talk about your own ship. But when the ship ain't in a storm, when the ship goes through a storm, I ain't coming up there. Ain't none of them no good. I ain't listening to them. I heard they say, wow. Somebody say perfect storm.
Perfect storm.
God sends sometimes the perfect storm so you'll see who you got. Yeah. And then so you'll see who you don't have. Now, truth of it is that you're not going to want to admit this, but it's in the text. So I ain't going to talk about y'all. I'll talk about the disciples. How about that? Y'all cool with that? Truth of it is, the ship is the only thing saving their life. So recall the Lord's purpose. Secondly, rest with the Lord's presence. Write it out by resting. There's a time to do something, and there's a time to rest. Now, we have no problem here with them following Jesus to lay hands on the sick and to speak oracles from on high. They have no problem with that, but they can't seem to follow him when he rests. You keep thinking you just got to worry all night long. Any real mama go worry. You think God is pleased because you up worrying. But what do you do when you, you up 24/7, but Jesus sleep? Mark gets explicit because Mark uses a first eyewitness account. He uses Peter's account to help write this narrative. Peter was there. And Peter said, man, we went through this storm. And this going on, and we're looking for Jesus. Master. Savior. Lord. And he was in the back of the boat. And he wasn't just asleep. He was sleeping in the back. And he had a pillow. Now, you know, when you get a pillow, you ain't looking for no nap, are you? You get ready to call him, ain't you? Jesus shows us how to trust him in it. Missed it. That Jesus already knew, because he's God, I'm going to see a storm, but they ain't going to stop me from sleeping. Oh, man. Oh, Lord. There is a time. I want to tell somebody something, including myself. Ain't no shame in getting to a point you don't want to hear that chaos no more. Anybody ever feel like all day is something? Every day is something. And you don't want to be ugly and say, I don't want to hear all that. And then when you go to bed at night, you keep replaying all that trauma and chaos from your day. And how much of it can you change? And you let it keep you up. God's word to somebody, go to bed. Stop letting waves that don't belong in your ship get in your ship and upset your peace. Mm-mm. Let me hurry. Y'all really didn't come for this today at all. This might be one of the most challenging Sundays ever. Jesus is asleep. All these disciples up. And you get upset because you're a child of God, and least you figure he ought to do is be up with you. Text don't say nothing about them trying to get water out. Nobody came up with an evacuation plan. Thankfully, none of them was crazy enough to jump. Now, some of us in this season, jumping ship. Now you got to deal with water you can't drink, and the same winds, and the same waves. That shows me something, y'all, that being saved don't mean you won't have storms. I got to tell you something, y'all, This text is not about God keeping us from storms. It's going to show us how he keeps us in storms. And so they are looking for Jesus. And somebody had to look hard enough to realize where he was. Because the text says he's back in the back. Sleep. Now, how can he sleep with all that rocking going on? Now, he's the carpenter. Shouldn't be used to water. They are fishermen who are used to water. And the one who ain't used to water, handling the water better than the ones who are out there every day. He's a carpenter. Every time he's trying to call you to do something different, he can't tell me what to do. He a carpenter. But he handling what you do better than you handling what you do. Y'all out there, you done seen storms before, hadn't you? So why would you treat this storm like you ain't got the same Savior? I ain't never been through this before. Well, but you got him. I mean, I didn't anticipate no shouting message, but my God, y'all. Help your boy out. I mean, dang. Trying to say other words. Shucks. Look. Bibles, I mean, y'all, they all take. Just leaving your boy out here like this, y'all just sitting there. Throw amen every now and then. What's wrong with y'all? I'm about to teach y'all how to help your pastor. How many of y'all be in storms right now? You all be tying up these chairs then. Why are you looking crazy? How many of y'all say you're in a storm? Why are you looking to be crazy then? I'm about to turn this thing off and deal with all y'all in just a minute. Listen. Rest, because you got the Lord's presence. Amen. Hey, y'all, if the Lord is present with you in peace, he's present with you in storms. Amen. Now, they take the fact and they have the nerve. And they go and ask the Lord, hey, master. They went and woke him up. They did. They went and woke him up. Master. Hey, master. Don't you care that we about to drown? Can I bring it to today? Hey, man, what you sleep for? And we about to drown. Don't you even care? I'm coming for somebody in just a minute. Because some of y'all think because you care about him, and he done told you he care about you, that when you dealing with something, he ought to be just as stressed as you are. Because this storm, get in trouble, Ham, this chaos sounds like an emergency. And because he hadn't done it right now, you think he ain't gonna do nothing. And you see, and he appears to be silent because he's asleep, and you think he don't care about you now. So here many of us are and got an attitude with Jesus. We have a very indignant attitude even today. Can I prove it? Your praise is based on his performance. If he ain't doing nothing for you right now, you ain't giving him nothing right now. Hey, Mac, remember how we were coach, man? And you taught me this. It wasn't me. And what would we tell them players? I'm going to give you what you give me. If you ain't giving nothing in practice, don't expect to get in the game. That's how we coached. But that's how we talked to God. God, if you ain't done nothing this week, I ain't giving you nothing Sunday. If you don't do it like I say, do it. I ain't lifting my hands no more. Now when my taxes hit, I'm going to praise. Am I lying to y'all? When it's going well, we tearing up the church. But if it ain't too well, Master, don't you care that we perish? Now, don't let your temporary and your present reality cause you to mess up a permanent. Because what did Jesus tell you in verse 35 and 36? Let's go. So why would you come and tell him something that's counterproductive to what he just told you? He said you're going to the other side. You ask him, what, you trying to kill me? You going to let me die right here, Lord? Jesus already told you, let's go to the other side. You come back and tell him because of what you're dealing with ain't too cute right now. You going to bring me here and let me die? He already told you how it's going to end, and you tripping off the middle. Anybody feel a little shame? How you done said some crazy prayers because you was feeling it right then? Right. Come on, I know it ain't just me. Anybody ever pray something stupid because you was praying out your emotion and praying how you felt? Yeah. And the Lord reminded you, what did I tell you before you got in the storm that you're going to the other side? Right. Storms don't change my plan. Storms don't change my performance. Storm won't change my purpose. Storm won't change my love for you. Storm don't change what I got in store for you. So stop letting storms change how you praise me, how you worship me, how you give me your best. Because see, the problem is, Jesus in the same storm. This is what you don't like about him. Because we ask him to walk with us. But if he walk with us, you got to trust him more than what you're seeing. He in it with you. Sometimes he ain't going to get you out of it. He's not going to prevent it. He's going to be with you in it. So today your challenge is to rest. Just because you got the Lord's presence. Yeah, it's cloudy. Yeah, the winds are blowing, the rain's falling. But you got Jesus. And I believe today, I submit that a sleepy Jesus is better than a live storm. Let me quit. Well, you recall the Lord's purpose. Rest in the Lord's presence. Thirdly, beloved, rely on the Lord's power. Now, Jesus, I love him. I love the Lord. When you really belong to him, you really love the fact, because all of us can say this, if you love the Lord don't handle you like he could handle you. Beloved, what is revealed here in the midst of the storm is the lack of faith of the disciples, not the lack of trouble in their life. Because Jesus understands something. Hey, troubles go come. Life go life. People go people. But God go keep God naming. But you and I got to make a decision today what we go trust more. And what happens in this passage, y'all, in the middle of the storm, it was revealed their lack of faith, not the lack of Jesus in the ship. Stop blaming the church about something you won't get from it. Your storm ain't got nothing to do with this building. Okay, I'll leave that alone again. Pick my battle. Bible says, Jesus wakes up, and I thank him today that he didn't rebuke them like he rebuked that storm. Because you know what he told? He told that storm, shut up. Stop. Can you imagine if he'd have told them? Can you imagine if he had told these disciples who don't believe in him and trust him? Can you imagine what would have happened? He told them, stop living. Stop pursuing. But his word already said, other side. What am I telling you? His purpose for y'all, for your life is bigger than your sin. Your shortcoming. Maybe I'm just working too hard, Corey. Maybe I'm working too hard. He says, to the sea, peace, be still. Which gives us a hint that this thing may have been satanically orchestrated, but divinely ordered. It shows me that the devil thought he was running it, but God got power over what the devil trying to do. Now, let's start. I want to teach this thing responsibly, okay? Because there are some times, some storms, the Lord's power won't be shown that way. His power is not always shown by him stopping it.
That's good.
And you're waiting on him to stop it. Hey, three of us know his power is not by the storms he stopped. I found out God's power by the storm he kept me in. Because I didn't lose my mind. I didn't get on drugs. I didn't get strung out somewhere. I didn't lose my praise. I didn't lose my worship. I wish I had some real saints. He didn't stop it, but he kept me in it. He gave me strength. See, if we teach this thing too topically, it's going to be like God going to stop every storm. He just chose this one to expose their lack of faith. Because the first thing he says to him, he gives them a gentle rebuke and says, why are you so fearful? He said, I just taught y'all about the kingdom of God. I taught all day long about trusting me at my word. And now you're out here in the middle of a storm and you can't trust me at my word. Trust in your bank account. Trust in what the doctor told you. Hear it, but what did I tell you prior to it? Every storm, y'all, he ain't gonna stop it. Some storms, you gotta ride it out. Look at it though. His power was shown by what he did for them. Y'all still with me? Or y'all still hung up on the fact that he ain't gonna stop everything? And I got some else to tell you about this, because see, you be liking the rebuke stuff you don't like.
That's so true.
Do you see Jesus told him to rebuke anything? He rebuked it, because only he got the power to do it. You can't rebuke that storm, because if you could, you wouldn't have went in no storm. I don't receive that. Well, it receives you. I wish I had somebody help me. Jesus says, why are you so fearful? He spoke to the wind. And the wind stopped messing with the waves. And the ship wouldn't been attacked right then for that season. And that's based on, so what am I saying to you? This ship go. This New Zion Missionary Baptist Church ship. Can I just talk locally real quick? I've been talking about the body of Christ. I'm trying my best to be general. But when it comes to us individually and collectively, this go not by how Ham preach. This go by how you jokers believe what God give Ham to preach. I almost believe that most of us, when you're dealing with something, God's word in your life never comes to your mind. You do just like the disciples did. Pastor. I'm in a storm. And then I do the best I can and say, member. What God told me to tell you Sunday. I wasn't there. I missed it. I had got caught up at work. And this ship won't go until the people on it trust God at his word concerning the ship. It's okay. I needed amens earlier. I don't need them now. I learned how to make without y'all amens now. Y'all should have joined me about 10 minutes ago. I'm through with y'all now. Me and God got it from here. Old sellouts. Me and God got it from here on out. Listen. He says, why are you so fearful?